Good morning, everyone, and we're so glad that you are here. We come in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He is our Lord, He is our God. And so we come today to share with the Finnamore family in the homegoing of grace. What a beloved person and a matriarch of the family. And it's so meaningful that as a large family we've gathered today, and then as a large connection of friends that have known them for many, many years, that you're here today. And so we thank you for that. On behalf of the family, we thank you. But we come today not to mourn as much as to celebrate. Yes, there's a big hole. No one else ever fills that. But we celebrate because grace has full and complete healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. She's where she has helped so many other people aim to go into the glories of heaven, into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to celebrate that culmination of faith, that final step that from this earth that we cherish and that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us. We're going to be looking at Scripture today. I'm going to allow the Word of God, which is the basis for our understanding of life and death and heaven. It's there that we find our consolation. It's there that we find our hope and the understanding of our future. Let's listen to just a brief selection of scriptures, and there'll be more throughout the service. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And then finally, whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, in Jesus' name we come before you. And thank you that in this great gathering today, you are high and lifted up. We exalt you to the highest place. And we thank you that the one who has gone to be with you exalted you to the highest place in her life. And Grace and Herb gave of themselves in communicating the glorious good news of Jesus Christ to as many as possible. And we celebrate that today. We give thanks to you for that today. But Lord, today we come because there is a gap in the lives of the family in particular and all of us who knew grace. So we come to you as the great shepherd. We're just sheep of your flock. And today we come entrusting ourselves to you in a very special way, at a special time, knowing our need today in a special way. And we thank you that as the great shepherd, you can meet all our needs. It's in you that we have our consolation. It's in you that we find the nurture of our hearts for grief. In Good Shepherd, today we especially pray for Herb. Lift him up to you. Thank you for a lifelong partnership. Thank you, Lord, for all that they have communicated and shared and passed on in heritage. Lord, we pray that you will walk with Herb today and support him in ways that no other human can. But today we thank you for family, and we thank you there's a great family of support and connection and nurture. And so today, Lord, as we continue in this memorial for grace, we ask for your guidance, your blessing, and your assuaging of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together hymn number 347, And Can It Be? You'll find it in the hymn books, and you'll also find it on the screen. Amen and praise the Lord. You may be seated. This time we're going to have scripture passages read to us by a number of grandchildren. Please come forward at this time.
Isaiah 53. Has anyone believed us or seen the mighty power of the Lord in action? Like a young plant or a root that sprouts in dry ground, the servant grew up obeying the Lord. He wasn't some handsome king. Nothing about the way he looked made him attractive to us. He was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despised him and said, "He is a nobody." He suffered and endured great pain for us, but we thought his suffering was punishment from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that had wandered off. We had each gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment we deserved. He was painfully abused, but he did not complain. He was silent, like a lamb being led to the butcher, as quiet as a sheep having its wool cut off. He was condemned to death without a fair trial. Who could have imagined what would happen to him? His life was taken away because of the sinful things my people had done. He wasn't dishonest or violent. He was buried in a tomb of cruel and rich people. The Lord decided his servant would suffer as a sacrifice to take away the sin and guilt of others. Now the servant will live to see his own descendants. He did everything the Lord had planned. By suffering, the servant will learn the true meaning of obeying the Lord. Although he is innocent, he will take the punishment for the sins of others, so that many of them will no longer be guilty. The Lord will reward him with honor and power for sacrificing his life. Others thought he was a sinner, but he suffered for our sins and asked God to forgive us.
The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he has done. Each day informs the following day, each night announces to the next. They don't speak a word, and there is never the sound of a voice. Yet their message reaches all the earth, and it travels around the world. In the heavens, a tent is set up for the sun. It rises like a bridegroom and gets ready like a hero eager to run a race. It travels all the way across the sky. Nothing hides from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives us new life. His teachings last forever, and they give us wisdom to ordinary people. The Lord's instruction is right. It makes our hearts glad. His commands shine brightly, and they give us light. Worshiping the Lord is sacred. He will always be worshipped. All of his decisions are correct and fair. They are worth more than the finest gold and are sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. By your teachings, Lord, I am warned. By obeying them, I am greatly rewarded.
None of us know our faults. Forgive me when I sin without knowing it. Don't let me do wrong on purpose, Lord, or let sin have control over my life. Then will I be innocent and not guilty of some terrible fault. Let my words and my thoughts be pleasing to you, Lord, because you are my mighty rock and my protector.
Thank you. Tom Finnemore and Libby Hooper, the oldest two children of Grace and Herb, are going to come and represent the family as they share about their mother.
We both have parts of this speech, and I hope we'll give a variety of memories and reminiscences that will give you some insight into the mother that we knew, and maybe some of you saw glimpses of this, but not all of it altogether.
When Mom was about 8, or maybe a little older, following family devotions in the home, she became very upset and went up to her room, and her father went up later to talk to her and said, "What's wrong, Grace?" And she was concerned about her salvation, and he gave her a verse at that time from Isaiah 43:1, and it was, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And that became the core belief in her life, and that's, she followed that throughout her life, and those, and was guided by God's principles throughout her life. And I think we saw that, and I know that we saw that grow and develop in her. She had passions. She was passionate about a number of things, but one of them was prayer. And that was evidenced in her life through her attendance at prayer groups, the Wycliffe prayer meetings, always, for years and years. There was the Y Encounter endeavor that went on in Toronto that she was and Dad were a big part of. And Mom prayed for all the people on Elgin Street. And up until she died, she continued to pray for those same people. She said, "Even though we've moved away and most of them have moved away, I'm still praying for them anyway." And she hated to miss prayer meeting. That was, she loved to go and be a part of that too. And she prayed for us as a family and for friends and for many missionaries. Recently, I don't know how recent in the past, but Dad and Mom every day prayed for the 77 missionaries and their children in the missionary church directory every day. I took turns praying for them. And you know, for us, she prayed, they prayed every day. Dad and Mom did that, and we will miss that from her. But, you know, Dad told us one time, "We never prayed that you would be famous or wealthy. All we ever prayed was that you would love and follow the Lord." And we are just thankful for that legacy, and I pray that we can carry that on. Oh, I was going to say, too, there was one time, though, that she refused to pray. And out loud at Banfield Church, Mark Bolander caught her off guard one Sunday night, asked her to pray. And she responded with a very definite no.
One of her, the other things that Dad and Mom did together was missions. And it started as far back as we can remember because we were just little things. And at Hope Church, one of their friends, Jim and Gladys Dean, went with Wycliffe to Mexico and then on to the Pacific. And then also with Wycliffe, Ray and Ruth Nicholson. And then Carrie and Joan Lovering went with SIM. And there were many others. If you got left out, don't feel badly. Mother had on her shelf, Libby mentioned this, it wasn't particularly my remembrance, but Mom's top 10 men. The 10 means two, a row of 10 men in mission in 8x10s on the shelf, starting with Cameron Townsend, Jean Vanier, George Cowan, and they were her idols, and she kept those guys there. There was the main item of that they did every year, along with all the other things, was the corn roast and for Wycliffe, and they did that for 25 plus years. A lot of mission trips they took to Mexico, Philippines, and Papua New Guinea to visit Paul and Libby and Tom and Penny and our gang. I, over there, saw all the grandchildren and saw a New Testament dedication there. That was what they did for holidays. People. That was the other thing they did together. And Dad would net them in and Mom would look after them. Always had the door open. Always to talk with family and friends. Mostly with Mom, it was a one-on-one thing. She was really good at that. Tea and coffee. Time to listen. Her home and Dad, with Dad, had a table that always extended and a roast that could always be cut thinner to stretch. And we got dirty looks if we ate too much. For the unexpected guest that Dad had netted in at the end of the Sunday service, this was not uncommon. The times we had just our own family was, and I must say, every stray missionary that walked through the foyer of our church. Hospitality to visiting missionaries, bed and breakfast, and housing for all of their own children as well, between housing moves and furloughs and just different times of need. She loved to have the people around, and that was it. That was their house. Revolving door. If you couldn't get in the front door later in time, you broke in the back door.
Mom had a lot of opinions about a variety of things, and she wasn't averse to expressing those opinions. In fact, her father said about her once, "Our Grace, she aye speaks her mind." And I think a lot of us remember that. But, you know, when it came to expressing some of her deeper emotions, she wasn't as vocal. And she often kept those inside. And we found this as we left. I got out of line here, but I'll say this, finish this up anyway.
Yeah.
She found it harder to give, you know, express those things. And times when we were leaving for Papua New Guinea, we wondered why she was acting the way she did. And she would be quiet and not say too much. But later, one time particularly, we found a letter waiting for us when we got there. And she was saying, "You might have wondered why I was acting like that, but I just couldn't talk. It hurt me to talk." Sarah read a letter that Grandma sent to her when we were overseas, just to us last night, where she said, "Roger just came and told me we've got 19 days before we leave for Papua New Guinea." And Mom said, "I feel sick." That's how she felt, but she kept those things inside. And she had other times, things like that, that she was a reserved person generally. But she cared about us and showed her care and showed us her deeper feelings in other ways.
Okay. I guess
I'll go back to this other one that I missed. Another of her passions was sewing and knitting. She was always sewing and always knitting. You probably saw some of those pictures. And she sewed for herself. She sewed for us girls mostly, but she also had projects that she did around the house. And she closed sewed curtains, and she did placemats. And during one of her phases, she was doing stuffed animals and was overheard talking to them at one point. Everybody had something knitted by the robo-knitter, and children, grandchildren, others in the family. And then she used that skill to Banfield Church when she headed up the knitting section in the craft nook for many years.
Yeah, sense of humor. We're both going to take different parts of this. She was a games person. She'd do this one-on-one a lot with the grandchildren and with her games. In trouble, anybody here remember trouble?
Yes.
Especially the grandchildren. And I remember somewhat of the Scrabble fights with her sisters and Herb's cheating. She was a real games person, fun-loving. I can't do it, my tongue's not long enough. She used to touch her long tongue to her nose. She would be, whenever Mom would go off into a world of her own at times, even when we were very young, and she'd be caught dancing a jig in the kitchen by herself, hiding outside the bathroom door, crouching, pretending to be our dog Daisy to whoever was in the bathroom. And one of our elders came to the front door one day, couldn't get an answer, and he came around the back and looking through the window saw Mom trying on dress-up hats.
Several people this morning have mentioned Mom and her songs and her sayings. That was so typical. She had a song for every occasion. Anything could prompt a song out of my mom. And she had a vast repertoire of songs in English, French, and Latin. And they came out all the time. She loved to sing old war songs, and some of those were a little risque at times. We didn't understand them when we were kids. But she also sang as she worked around the house. She just always was singing. She had a number of sayings, and I'm sure we all have memories of different ones, but one that she used to say a lot was, she could sing. She used to sing it. I'm not going to do that. But she said she could very well pass for 43 in the dark with the light behind her. And another one, when we're leaving, she'd say, be good, sweet maid, and also clever. Perspire you must. Offend no never.
Now, team Mom and Dad. Mom was the team manager, at least in the house. I think some of us can identify with that. She collected the paycheck. I can remember her sitting by the bank in the car waiting for those pay envelopes to come out, and she managed all the finances and did it really well. Dad trusted Mom to manage every detail. She made a budget and stuck to it to a fault, some of us kids thought.
Mom was the inveterate bargain hunter. She loved to get a bargain on groceries and fabric and just whatever she could. And she sometimes would drive miles to save 20 cents. And she loved to boast about it.
I think 5 cents.
5 cents. But she would she'd come back and say, how much did you pay for yours? Well, I got mine for, 10 cents less. And I remember her with her, cutting out a pattern out of fabric. And she just loved the challenge of getting it out of less material than the pattern called for. And she'd end up with little pieces, a whole bunch of little pieces, but that's how she was. She was thrifty, and she thought, I might be able to use that someday.
So you've done that.
Yeah.
She and Dad seemed to identify with people that had need and distress. She did a lot with her sisters, especially when she was younger, taking them to appointments and treatments and so on. When outsiders, she gave a lot of temporary homes to children in at least three families. With us, when we were sick, she tended us very well. And through all the childhood illnesses, even when she was sick, I can remember when she had hepatitis. And Libby had hepatitis, and she was still roaring around the house. I don't know how she did it. That was what she did. She appreciated what people did for her, too. And rather than give her things for herself, she would give things to other people. She never really had a really good set of dishes of her own, but she bought these good dishes for all of her daughters and daughters-in-law, and got them to pick out a pattern in fine china, and gave them a starter set, and then added to those at Christmases and birthdays over years. She also, and I remember this particularly in the last years, giving thanks to people who did things, acts of kindness for her, take them when they couldn't drive anymore, and Mom and Dad always thanked us for that.
And Dad told me just recently how she said to him, I thank God for you every day. And, you know, Dad, we thank you, God, for you, because of the way you cared for Mom and the example you've set. And it's our prayer that we will be able to follow that example, that we, that those who come behind us will find us faithful to the vows that we make and to the examples that we have been set for us by our families, by our father and mother, both. You know, when you consider all that we've said, you've heard today, and we've said, the bottom line is that Grace Finnemore was a real, genuine person. She had her faults, and same as all of us do, but she loved us. She was a faithful, loving wife. She was a good friend, and she was a great mother.
Wasn't that a wonderful tribute? How many of you learned some new things about Grace? Yes. We're going to sing together. And I believe all of the hymns that we're singing today are hymns that were some of Grace's favorites. I imagine she maybe sang those around the house as well. So we're going to be singing Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. It's 344 in your hymn book if you want to follow it. We're singing verse 1 and 4. It's also on the PowerPoint. Let's stand to sing together. Some of you may have been able to follow along and to see some of the importance of what has taken place so far. Some of you may not have been able to notice that, so I'll just share that before I get started in the message today. There are 16 grandchildren. 10 of them were honorary pallbearers. And they came up, all the boys. All the girls read scripture. The oldest children did the tribute. The next oldest children brought the urn forward. Jean's always in the middle of doing things. Melody, the youngest, did the bulletin. So all of the children and all of the grandchildren have been involved in a very special way in honoring Mom and Grandma today. Dear Grace, with Herb, have left a wonderful legacy of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to carry on the work of the Lord. I'm sure one of Grace's great concerns and prayers always was for all of her family, that they would know the Lord and follow Him faithfully. I did not realize until I actually got a copy of the bulletin or read the obituary in the Toronto Star that Grace had outlived all of her siblings. She used to talk to me at length at times about Cecil and his ministry in the Presbyterian Church in Oakville. And then Jean used to visit her aunts in Willowdale almost every week for many, many years while I was at Banfield. Grace, whether it was working at and ministering at Craft Nook, or being at the numerous prayer meetings that were mentioned, or opening her home to missionaries, and strays, and others that happened to have come to church that day that didn't have a place to go, and friends, as they opened their home to church groups, was always desirous of serving her Lord and her Savior. It's been my privilege to be on the pastoral staff of two different churches that Herb and Grace have attended over the last 25 plus years. Well, one night I'll never forget, it was back in the 1980s. The adult class of the Banfield Memorial Church, now called Wellspring Community Church, had a special outing and social at the Finnemore household. And it was going to be in the form of a crokinole tournament. And I got there and there were 10 tables set up all over the place. You know, in the family room, the living room, the dining room, probably even in the kitchen. All the teams were made out and we rotated. It was a great night. I don't know how she found any other tables to put food on to serve us afterwards, but somehow it happened. And I imagine Herb had a lot of work to get that all set up, and probably even more work taking it all down and making sure everybody got their crokinole boards back. Years later, the Banfield Church had the privilege of hosting the Canadian dedication of the Ono New Testament. I remember that. I believe I was there for that. And the Herculean task accomplished by Tom and Penny, and more recently revised again with Yori Epi, who was here, into an up-to-date translation in the Ono language for the tribal group in Papua New Guinea. I'm sure as a group they are very appreciative of the ministry of the Finnemore family to them going across to the other side of the world to be able to translate the New Testament into their language. In the obituary in the paper, it said that memorial donations were to be made to Wycliffe Bible Translators, the Canadian Bible Society, and Tyndale University and Seminary. One is focused on translating the word. One is focused on distribution of the word. And the other is focused on the teaching of the word. In the psalm that was read by three of the granddaughters, in verse 7 to 11 of Psalm 19, we see a major focus on the Word of God. And to Grace, the Word of God was her foundation. Now I believe, and maybe you can correct me, Herb, if I'm wrong on that, I believe that Herb was a little bit better at memorizing and quoting Scripture. Were you? No, Grace was better at it? Okay. Well, I guess the reason why I think Herb was because he was more verbal in terms of it. So I heard him quote more scriptures than Grace because she was more reserved. But if you listen to them pray, invariably the scripture will be part of their prayers. They will pray a promise back to God. They will pray certain scripture passages in their prayer. And they took it upon themselves to work hard at memorizing and being able to share the Word of God. Psalm 19 as well as Psalm 119 spend time talking about how the Word of God impacts the heart of those who read it, trust it, and obey it. In Psalm 19 it says the Word revives the soul. So when we're weary or grieving, the Word of God revives our soul. It makes wise the simple. Couldn't help but think of those in Papua New Guinea who were made wise in terms of understanding the scriptures because it was put in their language that they could speak and that they would learn to read. It gives joy to the heart. So in a time like this, when Herb and his family are mourning the loss of one that they love so dearly, The promises of the Word of God bring much joy and comfort in a time like this. Then it's interesting because in verse 8 it says, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Spiritual sight. Wonderful gift to have spiritual sight and discernment. And I'm sure it probably meant a lot to both of them who have been losing their sight over the while, and Grace was almost totally blind by the time she died. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Reward in this life, in terms of obedience and pleasing the Lord and having the joy of the Lord as our strength, and certainly also in the next. I'm sure the last verse of this psalm is probably a verse that Grace prayed many times. It would be a wonderful model for each of us. The granddaughters read it in a modern translation. Was it the Message or was it? CEV. Okay. I'm reading it in the NIV. Some of you may have it memorized in the King James. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Grace desired to please God, her creator, her refuge, and her redeemer. To Grace, the love of her suffering Savior was the basis of her salvation. And so you find that one of her great wishes was to have Isaiah 53 read, that talks about the suffering servant and is alluded to in the New Testament, of course, as Jesus being the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 53. Just a few years ago, many of you may have seen the film The Passion of the Christ. It was not an easy film to watch. The suffering Jesus experienced in that film as he died on the cross, as God laid on him, as Isaiah 53 would say, laid on him the iniquity of us all, was very graphic. And yet, I know some actually complained about the graphicness of it, but the reality is it probably wasn't as graphic as the reality of what Jesus went through on our behalf. In Isaiah 52, at the beginning of that passage, we have these words, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, his form marred beyond human likeness. And later in Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Remember the words of the first hymn that we had today, and I want to read those to you wherever I put them. Oh, here they are. Okay. Verse 1 and 2 says this, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And then verse 2. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Grace was overwhelmed at the amazing love of Jesus that led him to Calvary to pay the penalty for her sin and ours and to provide eternal life. Grace experienced as a child that grace that will pardon and cleanse within. I'm sure that Grace appreciated the acrostic that many know that is made on her name. And it's made on the name of everybody that would have the name Grace. And in theological circles, you've probably heard it. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace bestowed on all who believe and put their trust in Jesus to be their Lord and their Savior. John the Apostle, he put it this way, and if I was to ask Herb to stand and quote it, he would be able to do that for me today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. To Grace, the promise of a home in heaven brought great assurance. Remember those words of comfort that we have in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. The disciples were in the upper room with Jesus. Jesus' heart was heavy. He knew that within hours that he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified. And yet, in the midst of that type of a situation, he was very concerned that his disciples needed to be comforted. So instead of the disciples comforting Jesus, Jesus comforted them with these words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus promises to return. Access to the Father is only through Jesus, who says later on in that passage that he is the way, the truth, and the life. When death comes, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that all who love Jesus will receive an immortal body when Jesus returns that second time. As Pastor David alluded to, there'll be a complete healing. She'll have an immortal body. She'll be able to see perfectly. There'll be no pain and no tears in heaven. I think as we get older, and as our body wears out, and as we struggle to get up in the morning, and we struggle to see and to hear, I think the call of heaven becomes clearer to many. And I believe that Grace has been longing to see her Savior over these past years. She's got a lot of siblings to see, a lot of friends that have gone there already. Oh yes, we're going to miss Grace. She used to just sit in the third row right there at the front with Jean and Herb over the years. We're going to miss her. The family are grieving her loss. Her loss of her presence is real to all of us. Each of you are here in a sense expressing that. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Grace placed her hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he promised her salvation if she trusted in him and depended on him to pay the penalty for her sin. And she did that at a very young age. And her life reflected that belief as she was obedient to the Lord and as she served him and as she prayed for others. Someone said to my wife last night that they gave an article to Tom about something that might reflect what Grace was like. And I think it worked a little bit along the ways that Grace had the tremendous ability to pray for people to go out to the field. So once she heard that people had an interest in missions, she would pray until they got there and probably continue to pray after they got there. But she had this gift of being able to sense and pray and see God leading forward people. And that must have brought much joy to her heart. And I believe that she can say, as we will be singing very shortly, she'll be able to say, "It is well with my soul." Why is it well with Grace's soul? Because Grace has experienced the reality of verse 3 in this song. It says this: "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." Those who give their lives to Christ are freed from that burden of sin and can cast it on Jesus, and he takes it fully, and he brings pardon and forgiveness and cleansing to us. The Word was her foundation. Jesus was her Savior. Heaven is now her new address. Grace, I'm sure that you have heard these words already. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Father, we rejoice in a life well lived. We rejoice, Father, that the joy of the Lord was grace's strength. We thank you, Father, that her life, as she lived it out, brought much pleasure to you, her Father and her King. Father, one of her great abilities was prayer, encouraging others through her prayers. We pray, Father, you'll raise up others that have a great sense of the need to pray and the need, Father, to bring others before your throne. We thank you, Father, for her life. We thank you for her ministry to her husband as a partner for all these years since 1944. She'll be missed deeply. We thank you, Father, for her six children. And pray, Father, that as they've given wonderful tribute today, and as they're all here today, remembering Mom, Father, that they will sense your presence and the comfort of your Spirit in their lives. Father, as they, in a sense, lead their families, we pray, Father, that they will be good wives and husbands, and that they'll be good parents, and that they'll pray for their children and for the next generation, of which many have come already. We thank you, Father, for all 29 of those great-grandchildren that bring much joy and have brought much joy to both Grace and Herb. Father, we thank you for the ministry that this family have had. We thank you for its impact on Wycliffe, the relationships that they've had, and those who've come to pay their respects today. We pray, Father, for those from the Canadian Bible Society and the love that they've had for the distribution of the Word of God and for the many children and grandchildren that have spent time at Tyndall Bible College and Seminary. And we thank you, Father, for these institutions that the Finnemore family have had great connections with and a great love for and have impacted in special ways themselves. Father, for each of us who've gathered together here, we pray your blessing and thank you, Father, for each one who's here. We pray, Father, as we close with a hymn and then a benediction, that this service of celebration will have been one that has pleased you today and brought honor to your name. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul, verses 1, 3, and 5. It is on the overhead, or the PowerPoint, or in the hymn book 705. want to give a couple of announcements before we have the benediction. The interment will be on another day, and I believe it's going to be family-focused. After the recessional, we're going to be having the family to recess out. After that, you may leave after that is done. They will be meeting you in the lower auditorium, a reception to follow, so we invite everyone who's able to meet with us downstairs. The family, of course, want to thank you for your presence and your prayers, your donations, and your condolences. There is an elevator available, and it's just out this way on the way that you came when you came in from the parking lot. There will be an elevator attendant there for any of you who will need an elevator to get downstairs. So these are just some of the announcements to help us with the details. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this service of celebration. We thank you for the reception to follow and the opportunity that it provides for us, not only for refreshment, but also for fellowship and time with the family. And we pray for your ongoing presence and peace in our lives. And we pray that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and forevermore. Amen.